from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's The Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right. Look, we have some preseason action tonight. That's where I'm going to start, Jason. How about that?
I didn't know either.
Look, you threw me a little curveball.
I'm going to be real with you, man. It's kind of a slow day. It's a slow time.
Nationally,
still.
But at least locally. You go ahead. You handle the national.
Yeah, I'm going to handle the preseason here. I'm just so off my game because, you know, Courtney's coming on. But we have two preseason games tonight. One is not relevant because there will be no starters. That would be your Bears and Chiefs.
Anytime we play, it's relevant. It's the two-time defending champs. No starters, but come on. The storylines are abound.
Yes. So we can say that that's relevant because the Bears are playing. I do have the over in the first half in that one.
Acting like nothing's going on and you got some action on it.
Oh, one thing about me, I'm going to have some action. Get your popcorn ready. All right.
Now that's two popcorn references here.
Well, why do you think I'm making popcorn references?
No, cuz we got a goat here. I don't know.
Yeah, we got Colonel Fuller over there. We got him in the building. Yeah.
Love it.
We're going to give him a shout out for his here's the way this works on this show.
They will not hear him.
We shout out. No, you will not hear him, but you will feel him.
No, he is here.
You will feel
his presence.
Yes. and so he is here. There you go. That's the way you can hear. It's just like Brad. I mean, it's really, you pick right up where he left off. Give me a ding, and we can really be on our way with this. So you have the Chiefs and Bears, which is not super relevant, and then you have Colts and Bengals. And the only reason why that is particularly relevant is because Anthony Richardson is going to play about a quarter and a half. The Stars are going to play about a quarter and a half. They have a long layoff. So the way that's working is they have 17 days between Thursday of today and when they actually play, which will be a Sunday. So Shane Steichen is very adamant that he's going to use this as, you know, the dress rehearsal, right? You see that around the NFL, and that is a dress rehearsal situation. So I actually have both on tonight. I'll be locked into both of these games tonight for various reasons. One is on Prime Video. That'd be the Colts-Bengals. One is on NFL Network. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but YouTube TV for Sunday Ticket is adding a customizable feature. They had the multi-box last year, but everything was sort of selected for you. So those, like, you know, it'd be three games, four games, but it would be like pre-selected. Now, moving forward with Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV, you can customize those, whatever games you want to watch,
okay.
Which, you know, seems obvious, but again, it was not the case last year. So I know people are complaining about, the price and everything like that, and it's a fair complaint. I mean, I get it. You know, it's for me, it's just the cost. It's non-negotiable. It just is. It's just I'm paying it every time.
I'm sorry about that.
I don't look at it as like a thing you need to be sorry about.
No, it's sunken for you.
Yeah, it's just it is what it is.
Like sunken cost.
I budget it, you know, and I have to know what's going on in the NFL every single week. You know, I understand, but I would just tell people if they really want it. You know, I think the Apple store ad was like $700. You know, just get YouTube TV,
It ends up being cheaper in the long run. I promise it does. Plus, you get cable and all the other channels and all the sports stuff. It's just going to end up costing you less over the course of time. So, yeah, that's the big news, is that I believe there's also going to be like a fantasy a contraption with the Sunday Ticket that's infused with Yahoo. You seem to not appreciate
I haven't liked what they've offered so far. I remember back in the day they had a fantasy component. It would add up your points, but it was too slow. It was clunky and junky.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah, so
if it's updated, it needs to be a whole lot faster and better.
Yeah, there's a fantasy tab sort of on the right. Like, you can have the game going, and then you can pull it up on the right side. You can integrate it with your scores there. So, like, it'll update live your fantasy game with your opponent. It will update live on the YouTube TV Sunday Ticket app. You know, as the games are going on. So you can see, you don't have to check, it's just right there. So a lot of people involved with the show right now seem to not appreciate the innovation.
You know why I don't listen? Because you didn't listen.
Yeah.
Well, two words, Superbox. So right. You go on and on about what the people should do.
Yeah, so you don't like it, Fuller doesn't like it, nobody seems to like it.
We like it.
I don't really play Yahoo Fantasy.
I think most people are like you. They go ahead and get the package. Still get Sunday Ticket.
Yeah. Again, I understand it costs a lot of money to watch the NFL, but it's the best product. It just is.
And I can't afford it anymore. I had to go elsewhere.
Right.
You know,
pirating.
Porch Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we're, you know.
A lot of piracy going on. A lot of piracy going on in Cordova.
You've been trying to accuse this and get the police on me for years. It hasn't worked.
I'm not going to rest.
Yeah, you've been dropping a dime just about once a year.
I've got a couple of departments on it. I've got a couple of people
watching.
Well,
let me tell you what. They got enough on their hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it looks like, by the way, you mentioned the penny deal. It looks like they have made an arrest. I don't know.
Here we go.
I don't know that
this
is.
Next story.
Here we go. Heard this was coming to a conclusion, perhaps.
He was arrested. I mean, this is the guy, right? The police department announced about 20 minutes ago.
Looked like dude from Bounty Hunter. Oh, that looks like him.
I mean.
Now, I can't. It's hard because you can't see the rest of his shoulders and body, but I think that's him. Are they saying they've charged him with theft?
Theft of property.
I knew. Because we had that description. Dude, you had tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the guy's in a tank top. You got a good description of this dude. Like, there's no way he's walking around that neighborhood and nobody's seen this guy.
Right.
So, anyway, I was told yesterday, I'll just say this, because I don't want to reveal who told it to me. But when we get the story on this, you're not going to believe it.
All right.
That's what I was told. The person said, couldn't say anything more.
Okay.
He had to get off the phone. I had to get off the phone. He said, I can't say anything more. He said, you're not going to believe. But what he told me was, this is done. It's going to come to a conclusion.
Right.
Clearly it has. And so I can't wait to hear the details. For anyone that didn't know, you know, Penny obviously was, burglarized?
He was
theft. Stolen from his home over in, off Central.
Yes.
Was that Goodwin? I think it is.
Yeah.
And, 26 pairs, he said, of exclusive Foamposite shoes. Now, of course, that's his signature shoe. These were not to be sold in stores, so you figure a very high value that this gentleman got away with in a shopping cart.
Yes.
Loading up boxes. Now, Penny has a gate in front of his home.
That's right.
And my understanding is these boxes were in front of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the drop-off people did him too many favors here either. But I'll be interested to hear this is more than just a random guy passing by. Yeah, it'll be cool to hear what the details are.
Yeah.
Who had that first?
The MPD.
Oh, they've announced it.
They didn't say that it was the Penny Hardaway theft, but they did. They said that they tweeted, this guy arrested theft. It's like, they don't just tweet random.
About a theft?
Arrests.
No.
Right.
But what did I tell you yesterday? Because it's Penny, would get the.
Yes. No, justice would be brought.
Quick justice. Yep. You're not going to steal from Penny.
So, I mean, how crazy can the story really be, though? This guy looks homeless, bro.
I don't think so. Y'all keep saying there's one picture where he's got a backpack on, and you're saying, you think...
Well, homeless people have backpacks, man.
No, I know. You're right. I think y'all are making assumptions based on that. That's my point. There are other pictures. He doesn't have the backpack. He looks like he's of the neighborhood or something. Pointed out to me is that the green line that runs close near there, too, so anybody from any part of town... really can kind of get close, can really kind of get close to that area.
I mean,
I'm not very familiar with the Green Line, but apparently it's near, so anybody can kind of move, come in, come out.
I mean, this guy doesn't look like
a rich neighborhood.
He doesn't look like he's very well kept,
Bro, the sunglasses? Did you see him in the way? That man's strolling.
I mean,
one of the pitchers looks like he's in his yard looking at the camera.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's just a random dude and a guy off the streets that looked up, found some packages, went and got him a shopping cart, said, I'm going to take all of them. But that wouldn't be interesting at all. I've been told this is, like, interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see. Either way,
what exactly?
You don't steal from Penny.
Yeah, that's, you know, for a fact, that's going to...
Whether you're, you know, a person that's just on the streets or if this has got some deeper ties, whatever.
Right.
Exactly. You don't steal from Penny, you're going to be found. MPD going to work for Penny.
Exactly. And
they're going to work quickly.
That seems to be what happened here. So an arrest, we believe, has been made in the Penny Hardaway
theft. We believe. That's key, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as many thefts and arrests that are made in Memphis, Tennessee on a daily basis, that's the one they tweet. I mean, I just feel like that's definitely, like, that's the one.
Let me look him in his eyes real quick.
We cracked the case, man.
Yeah, it looks like it could be him.
You're going there? You're going there? I think we're safe.
He doesn't look as big as he did in the other picture.
Well, it's hard to say,
like,
right?
Around 6 foot.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's the latest. Maybe that's the guy. Maybe we got him, folks.
Next story.
I don't know if you saw this. I was on a little NFL news. See how you feel about this. The Commanders traded 2022 first-round pick Jahan Dotson and a 2025 fifth-round pick to the in-division Eagles.
Mm.
In exchange for third-round pick and 2 7th-round picks in 2025, Eagles were looking for a number 3 to put with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, obviously. I don't like it. I'm going to tell you why. I don't like deals that you do in the division. I don't like the potential for a team in your division to climb. Now, maybe Washington's looking at it as this. There's a gap between us, right, and the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And where Dallas and Philly are. I mean, I probably should have put Philly first based on what everybody's expecting this season from Philly. There's a gap, and maybe Washington's looking at it like that. Like, you know what? They can have them right now. We're looking towards the future and trying to add draft picks, everything else for a future, and they're okay with that. But, John, I've always been against, and you and I have even talked about, you know, it's not same division, but Bills helping, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs be able to draft Xavier Worthy. That's yes, you're not in the same division, but you're both Super Bowl contenders, or at least Buffalo was at one point. Why are you helping? I've always been, if you're going to do trades, I'm out of division or I'm out of conference is sort of the priority. So from that standpoint, I don't think, you know, I don't know that the Commanders being very smart here, because Dotson can be a great 3 for the Eagles, an offense that's already, you know, got what it needs at the 1 and the 2.
Yeah.
And so you've probably solidified some things for them. They're probably okay with it, though, because like I said, the Washington Commanders know they're not going to be a playoff team. They're not going to be overly competitive or vying for an NFC East title. That said, yeah, I like it for Philly. Not so much for the Commanders, but I get it from their standpoint. They're rebuilding. They need talent. They need picks for the future, so I get it.
Yeah, I actually think this is freaking scary.
Yeah, I don't like it for my Dallas pick in that division.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. He's still like 24 years old.
Yeah, he was.
And I mean, put him in this spot, he's going to shine.
Exactly.
Don't try to make him a 2.
Yeah, you know, the
slot man.
Yeah. I mean, he could do some real damage.
It's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, that's a late stage trade that could have a pretty big impact.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their depth chart looked like past.
They needed a 3. Apparently, they didn't have much at all.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who that guy. Paris Campbell was one of them.
Yeah, that's awful.
Johnny Wilson.
It
was bad.
So now your top 3 are Brown, Smith, Jahan Dotson, Dallas Goedert. You know, then you have, you know, Kenneth Gainwell as a pass catcher.
Bro.
Saquon.
I was about to say, you said Gainwell.
Well, Saquon,
they went out and upgraded.
Yeah, I mean, they are freaking. I mean, how are you going to stop them, bro, on offense? I mean, that is so sick. That is so sick. They definitely are up there.
Why would you? It's the only reasoning that I have is that Washington doesn't care right now for that sense in terms of how good they're making Philly.
Yeah,
but they're completing them in a way offensively.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would definitely it's like to me.
Is it okay to give a team their shot to the Super Bowl?
Why do the Chiefs do deals with the Bills? Deals with the Chiefs, yeah. I should say.
That's why I don't like Bears deals with Green Bay. I'm sure you wouldn't. You know, any deal with KC, especially if KC gets the better end of it. For me, it's like it's a fireable offense. You know what I'm saying? When you've helped the team in your division and you've come out
and
it doesn't work out, that's too risky.
Yeah.
That's why I don't do it with interdivision teams. But perhaps it will for the Commanders because they're thinking long term.
Yeah. It is fun, man. It is fun to start thinking about this regular season, though, bro. Like, I mean, not for me, you know, not from the team I cheer for, but for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm definitely like, I'm very.
But it's not more anticipated for you than the Grizzlies season, the Grizzlies.
Well,
which is the most?
I mean, not in a vacuum, no, mm-hmm. because I have like a very specific rooting interest with the Grizzlies as opposed to the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. I am actually, you know, I'm up for sale. I will. My fandom is up for purchase this season. I cannot get behind what the Raiders are doing, bro. I hate every minute of it. Like, I was listening to this podcast that Tayshaun Reed did with a Raider fan, and he was, like, saying how bad the quarterbacks have been since OTAs.
Have you been reading about how good Luke Getsy has been for you?
See, hated
they
that.
Going nuts about my, hated, my former
I hated everything.
OC.
I hated everything the whole
the Raiders
way.
Hired.
I hated it, although I understood it, the promotion of Antonio Pierce. I hated the way that we didn't get aggressive with quarterback. I hated the OC hire of Getsy.
He's awful.
So there was just nothing that the Raiders did in the offseason that made
Clown
me feel
show.
Excited about the season ahead. And, you know, look, it's all because they beat the Chiefs. That's what it boils down to. They beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, that one stupid win that didn't matter. It didn't matter to the Raiders season, and it didn't matter to the Chiefs season, because guess what? They still won the Super Bowl. But it mattered enough to ownership and stupid Mark Davis that, oh, he's the guy. And also, again, because they didn't promote Bisaccia the last go-around, even though he got into the playoffs despite the John Gruden emails, despite the Henry Ruggs case. You know, that's the guy that really deserved the job. He got into the damn playoffs amidst all that adversity. Antonio Pierce, all due respect, he inherited a pretty talented roster on paper with Devontae Adams and Max Crosby, and he got 7 wins out of them. Big whoop. Big damn deal. You know, or 8 or whatever it ended up being.
I don't know what was he supposed to do with that, man. Come on.
I mean, I'm not
good with y'all supposed to
no,
do
No, I'm
that.
Just saying, like, you know, you don't make the hire based on that is all I'm saying.
I understand that.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you give him a shot, and you know, but honestly, the job's not that attractive because we don't have a QB. And so it is probably the best we could do, Antonio Pierce and the guys like him. And also Max Crosby cried. He was like, if you don't hire Antonio Pierce, I'm going to request a trade. You know, so he pulled that card on us, you know, and that was lame as hell. So that's where we're at. It's a lame duck coach. It's a lame duck quarterback. Dude, this is the worst as a fan. I'm 33. I don't have, you know, a lot of time left.
Stop.
I don't have a lot of time left. I'm running out, man. I mean, you've seen how I've aged my
Dude,
kids. I feel like I'm 53.
My dad is 74.
And he got Caleb Williams.
And how long has it been since we've won a Super Bowl?
Well, y'all
and
got
what do you,
there.
What do you think he's
y'all got
saying
there
right
in
now?
What, 05?
What do you think he reserve? Let them reserve that for folks like him, fans like him, long suffering fans like him.
What do I think your dad's saying right
that
now?
That are again wondering, am I going to get one before I'm out of here? You know, before the sun goes down on me.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be talking about
but
you at 30 something
one,
fool.
He's got one. I don't have one.
The 85 was another time.
It was
like another life.
He was 30. He was 30, though. He was in his 30s.
It's almost like a 100-year drought for the Cubs, basically, in NFL years.
And you got that, too. You got both of those in your lifetime.
You still got plenty. You got another 40 before you're his age.
And
get the point?
Do you think the Raiders
you can really start complaining? You talk about folks come around who complain about prices too high and all that. All you do is complain about the rate. Nobody wants to hear it.
Do you think the Raiders will win a Super Bowl in the next 40 years?
Complain about you're too old.
You know they won't. You know they won't.
Just stop and keep it in perspective.
You know they won't. It's embarrassing.
You know, y'all are a clown show until you get out from under the ownership of your boy.
Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah. We need to get the McCaskies. That's who we need to get. They run a tight ship over there in Chicago, don't they?
You know, the Dallas has a maniacal owner, but they win 12 games a year. Y'all got a maniacal owner, and you're a joke.
Yeah. I'll never forget that that opener when they used Virginia's voice, that NFL season opener, and she said, "Welcome to another season of the NFL." That was
That's his Virginia McCaskey impression for the omnipotent one.
Well, she's 101 years old. She's 101.
Again.
A.K.A.
insulting
the
a woman that's
nominee.
Reached triple digits. Like, you think that's good for you?
I'm not insulting
you think
her.
That's
I'm just saying
good for
that's
your karma.
Who made the choice to put her as the opener, though, is it the
you
NFL
might,
season?
You might be right. Your days might be limited. You're going to get struck down here.
Are you ready?
Talking about old people like that.
Are you ready?
me for some football.
Yet you say Lee Corso bring him back year after year.
Waiting all day for Sunday night.
That's what y'all rolled out.
And then, we didn't roll her out for Hard Knocks, though. We didn't.
Well, thank God. You had to have some.
Like, I mean, she's resting.
That's too much excitement.
She's resting, getting ready for the season just like we are.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Courtney Cronin. She covers the Bears for ESPN. Catch her on First Take Around the Horn. She does it all for the network. So she'll join us on the other side. And we'll talk Bears, NFL, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. All right.
Courtney Cronin has made a professional leap that I think no other person has made, starting from the Clarion Ledger all the way to the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN. Covers the Bears for ESPN. Star of Hard Knocks. At least her fingernails were the star of Hard Knocks. And catch her on First Take. Around the horn, she does it all. She joins us now. Hello, Courtney. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
Do you know of anybody else, like another Clarion Ledger alum that has been at ESPN, or are you the only one?
I think I'm the only one, but there's like a murderer's row of journalists who have come from that paper, like all the way back to Siku Smith, God rest his soul.
That's right.
Ross Dellinger, Ian Rappaport, John Talty. Like, there's,
yeah,
like, it's a great launch pad for journalist careers. I mean, myself included. And I mean, there's just, it was such a talent rich area for athletics that there was like never not something to cover down there. And I always credit that place with giving me my start. I loved living down there in Jackson, Mississippi, driving up to your guys' neck of the woods every once in a while. And it's a very special place that I will always hold close in my heart.
What was the great Kyle Veazey down there at one point as well?
Yeah, he was. He
great
was
at, novelist.
He was in the CL for a while. Yeah. He's still up with you guys in Memphis?
I think
was
so.
Was working for the city at one point.
I think, like, he's with St. Jude now.
He went out for the money. You know, he took the money.
So. He's very I don't even think he's on social media anymore. He's just anonymous.
But he's omnipotent still. He's everywhere here still in Memphis, though, we feel like, Courtney.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Good for him.
Yeah. So, all right. The Chicago Bears. You know, it's funny. Like, the train has totally left the station in terms of anticipation and hype. And my partner, the reason why, you know, obviously you're great, but the reason why this was such a point to get you on the show is that my partner is a diehard Bears fan and has been waiting for a moment to be happy again with his franchise. And he reminds me every day that he has that. Yet the win total is only 9. So is the hype, you know, deserved based on, you know, what people actually think this team is capable of doing this season?
I think so. I mean, the quarterback is being tasked right now with carrying an entire franchise and giving this team something it hasn't had since the Sid Luckman days. And I know that some of that sounds like preposterous. How has the team not had a franchise quarterback in 70 years? You know, drafted and developed a guy that they brought in that was not named Jay Cutler, because honestly, was there much stability outside of a couple good seasons that happened in the Cutler era? There wasn't. So I think when you look at this big picture and you look at what the team has surrounded Caleb Williams with, the expectations are sky high because of that, on top of the fact that this is the number one overall pick, the Heisman Trophy winner, somebody who has a skill set that we've seen glimpses of in the preseason, that there's just elements of that you can't teach. The Patrick Mahomes-esque off-platform, off-balance, levitating style throws, that's something to be excited about. But I think you're right on the win total being there right around 9 is a fair assessment of where this team is. Because they're in a really hard division. You've got a division with a quarterback who just got a boatload of money in Jordan Love, in a Detroit team that's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's going to be hard to win games when your division play, which starts week 11 for this Bears team, week 11 through 18, they face the same three opponents 6 times total. That's going to be a gauntlet. So I think Vegas is factoring that part of their schedule in, and also knowing that a rookie quarterback, for his good as Caleb Williams has looked in the preseason and being able to take some tough days and learn from those moments, and you saw kind of a microcosm of it in the first half of the Cincinnati Bengals game, he's still a rookie quarterback, and you still expect that once the lights come on for real in the regular season, that it's not going to be a cakewalk by any stretch.
Yeah, but it's so well laid out. I just what I'm concerned about as fan, but both as a guy that's, you know, that's watched some quarterbacks and especially some failed ones with Fields, the Trubisky era, and you could argue they didn't have great plans for both. But it's the routine with Caleb, and I'm sure you're hearing it all the time, and I know you've written about it, right? We know we could do the off script stuff, everything you just laid out. It was Mahomes-ish, some of those plays, but it's the 3-step drop and getting it out. Right, is, you know, not trying to be Superman on every single play that I still worry about. I look over at Jaden Daniels, and I see a guy doing that. Listen, it's just preseason. It's early. I know he's capable of that. Is Caleb going to be okay with just doing the script stuff, I guess, is my concern and would be asking you yours.
I think he'll be fine with that. I do. And I get it. Like, I, you know, what we saw last year, the compensation element for him at USC, not a very good offensive line in front of him, at times felt like he went into hero ball mode.
Yep.
Too often. But also look at who he was throwing to. The receiving core at USC was not great, so kind of had to at times. Won't have to nearly as much in Chicago because he's got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze, and that's just the receiver room, like not even failing to mention what they believe they have in their backfield and how good their tight end room is. But, you know, playing in and out of structure, I think the what we saw, the final four plays of that Bengals game, where it's the 45-yarder to Rome Odunze, the play where he makes a defender miss, the next like runs around a defender, dances with him, and then throws the dart to the back of the end zone. And if only Rome's feet were in bounds, it would have been a touchdown. And then being able to see him take what the defense is giving him, not forcing a throw. That, you know, that's the difference between him and Fields. When Caleb Williams goes into scramble mode, his first instinct isn't I've got to bail and stay out of, you know, and keep running and try to make something happen. Like, I still, his mindset is I'm still to trying throw. To throw. I'm still yep. going through my progressions.
Yep.
And I call his 7-yard scramble touchdown. That was his fifth progression that he had to take last week because there were about four others that he went through and not very big part of the field. And to learn, sometimes I just got to run it in because I've got the athleticism. I can do it in those moments, and just taking what the defense gives you. That's operating within structure. In an out-of-structure moment, like just going off
Absolutely.
Of what's in front of you, not complicating it. And, you know, we've seen a good bit of that. The Jaden Daniels stuff is great, though, and I'm glad that you brought that up because how quickly he's gotten the ball out in the preseason. I know it's up there towards the tops of the league, and yes, we're looking at preseason quarterbacks and preseason stats comparing those, but that's an element of his game. He's been able to push the ball downfield, and that's what his bread and butter was at LSU and before that at Arizona State. So, you know, he's going to be off to a great start, too, I think, this season. It's weird that they just traded away a receiver that apparently they're bailing on after 2 years, but we'll see how that affects the offense and what he's able to do in Washington.
Yeah, the plan on Saturday, as you know, was only to play Caleb for maybe a drive or two.
A quarter.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what a drive or two constitutes if you do it right. If he would have scored on the first one, he's probably done. But that ended up not being the case as Caleb was kept in there until the end of the first half. They were just come hell or high water, young man. You're scoring a touchdown today against these Bengals at home. And my partner here was obviously watching too, and he commented that he loves the way that they're coaching Caleb as a result of that, like keeping him in there, building up the confidence, and sticking with him.
Especially because it was the twos, right, Courtney? It was the Cincy twos, and so if you're
yes.
a coach, you want your ones
yeah.
to punch it in.
So
right?
what did you make of that? You know, from the coaching standpoint of managing Caleb and, you know, taking him through this rookie season.
I thought it was wise to get him in there. Matt Eberflus said it was based on the ebb and flow of the game, so there was no. You hear a little different on Hard Knocks when they're talking about like snap counts and when he was at, you know, where the offense was at a certain point, they were going to get one more drive, but they weren't going to play them more than a half. But I thought it was good. Nobody would be feeling great right now if they pulled Caleb Williams and the starters after the first quarter when they go three and out, three and out, three and out, or even after, you know, they start clicking after that 43-yard pass interference penalty was what broke it open for them offensively. All it takes is one. It was wise to let him finish with momentum, even if they won't cop to that. That's exactly what happened. And it's wise to let your quarterback, now that he's done for the preseason, you've seen enough, end on a high note, because you saw him in the Buffalo game, two drives into the red zone, and then the offense stalls. I mean, some of that was play calling on that first series because they ran, you know, near the goal line, and Khalil Herbert gets stopped on a third and one. And then there was a miscommunication between Odunze and Williams on a third and long pass after that. You want him to get familiar with playing in tighter windows and in more critical situations when he gets into the red zone. And I thought it was a great test for him to deal with that, to deal with the headset communication, as we saw in Hard Knocks going in and out. There's a lot he does, like, that you try to prepare him for that you can't unless he's getting this action in these preseason games. So it was wise to keep him in as long as they did, and now shut him down until that Titans game. There's still a ways for him to go, but you feel pretty good about where everything's at after seeing how he bounced back from that first quarter against Cincinnati and put together his first scoring drive, his first touchdown, scoring drive that ended with a touchdown against the Bengals.
What do you think on the other side, Courtney? Are they going to get enough of a push on opposite Sweat on that defensive line? We know they've looked to upgrade. No, they went after Jadon, and you laid it out great in your breakdown of Hard Knocks, everything else that, you know, and Poles talked about in Hard Knocks, you know, that contract and having him ready to sign one was key in that, and the reason he's obviously in Atlanta now. So are they going to have enough to get the kind of push? I mean, it's been the weakness, finding that opposite side of Sweat. What do you think?
We'll see, because very clearly, like, Ryan Poles tells us right before training camp starts that they're comfortable with the pass rush. He kind of was addressing the rumors, like getting out in front of it. Are you guys going to sign a pass rusher? Are you trying to upgrade the defensive end position opposite Montez Sweat? And he said, we're happy with what we have. Clearly, they still feel there's a need there. Yep. So to be actively involved in Matthew Judon sweepstakes, if you want to call it that, and then bow out at a point where they're like, look, like, we have to have a deal agreed to before he gets here. That leaves them with DeMarcus Walker as their starting defensive end opposite their Pro Bowler. And then you've got a rotation that has a fifth-round rookie who has blown everybody away in the preseason. And I know he's still got a ways to go, but Austin Booker has been probably their third-best pass rusher that they have at the edge position. And then, you know, a couple other guys that aren't big names, but is it enough to pressure quarterbacks the way that they were not able to? They were 31st in sacks, 32nd in sack percentage last year. You're like, that's my pushback when people are like, oh, top five defense, it's a lock. No, it's not. That's not right. Until you can prove that you can pressure the quarterback, because the reason they were able to make strides where they were at, you know, pass defense wise last year, it only started after week 9. All the interceptions, all the takeaways, because they had Montez Sweat able to get after, you know, the quarterback in ways that nobody was doing weeks 1 through 8. Yep. But if you risk him getting, you know, chipped, double teamed, sometimes seeing 3, that's tough. And I think that still try to upgrade that spot if they can. If it doesn't happen now, it'll probably happen at the trade deadline, because Ryan Poles has shown he has a penchant for trying to make moves in season to upgrade the roster.
No, I'm with you 100%. As far as Hard Knocks and everybody that's been watching, Austin Reed did Keisha Cole. We had Rome do Kiss Kiss from Chris Brown. We had Theo do God Bless America from the great Lee Greenwood. Which of those performances stole your heart most there, Courtney?
Austin Reed. Wow, like, for a white dude to know a Keisha Cole song like that and just belt out the lyrics, that was impressive.
It was.
Caleb Williams, they gave him, like, a do-over because he was doing Ordinary People by John Legend, which I get it. A lot of people look at that and say that's a dumb song to sing, but there's a meaning behind it that's on his playlist every game.
Oh.
That, you know, before every game, that's what he's listening to when he's warming up. And I know it's weird because it's a slow song, it's a quieter song, but there's meaning to it. I just, you know, he did poor execution with the first go around he had with that.
Last thing on, well, at least for me on Bears, I mean, you know, former beat writer, you know the deal, try to read body language, maybe to get a little extra, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but when Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are interacting, I just get the sense, and Courtney, you've talked about this, like, they've kind of been off page, whether it's, you know, the president not hiring the GM or the GM not hiring the coach or whatever. You know, we've been trying to sort of get it, and I say we as a Bear, trying to sort of get everybody on the same page for a while, and I just sense this, and again, maybe I'm reading too much in it, that when Kevin Warren's talking, like, you know, You know, and now you're Ryan's boss. He didn't hire you, but there's this laser look of sort of resentment that he shoots at him, and I just wonder about their working relationship and what it's sort of been like having been much closer to it than obviously we are here in Memphis.
I view it as kind of maybe a bit the wrong way to put it, but I don't really know how to describe it. It's, you know, a power broker and his protege to a lot of degrees, like. Kevin Warren has been around the block in college athletics and pro athletics for a very long time. People know who he is. His name carries weight. And Ryan Poles, as a 38-year-old general manager, has no issue acquiescing to bringing like other voices. Now, he has the final say in football operations. Don't get me wrong on that. And I think Kevin Warren would be the first to tell you that he's not going to be the one, you know, calling the shots, but certainly if his voice is needed in any, or if his, you know, pull power is needed, I mean, hell, that's how the Montez Sweat deal, there was no contract agreed to at the time that Sweat was traded to the Chicago Bears. And if you do a little digging and just kind of, you know, a little inside football stuff here, if you look at how some of those relationships are formed between agencies that represent certain players and people who have relationships there, that's Kevin Warren played a big role in that. That's, I'll leave it at that. But it's, you know, I think that those two have it's a unique dynamic, but it's one that it might not work for every organization to have a team president as involved in all aspects, not just the business side. Because I know a lot of organizations work in silos where it's like football, the GM's over football operations, right. Football works in this department. The team president, CEO, whatever the title is, works over here. It's business. It's a business side of the business of the franchise. The two don't commingle. That's how it was in Minnesota when Kevin Warren was there and Rick Spielman was the general manager. Mm-hmm. Different dynamic here because Kevin Warren is over football operations as an umbrella. So it's business and football operations, and Ryan Poles reports directly to the team president. That's not the setup in every franchise, yeah. But it works for the Bears, and you know, so far. You can look at some of the moves that a young general manager made and say, well, that was, you know, one that you got to take on the chin, like the Chase Claypool.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
also look and see how prudent some of his moves were to know that Carolina was going to be bad last year and to be willing to give up the first-round pick, not take C.J. Stroud, but get D.J. Moore and other draft capital back in exchange for that and then flip that pick into Caleb Williams. There's been a lot of learning along the way, and I think he's come through in a big way for this franchise that has helped, you know, everybody gets time. I don't know if he would have survived, if any of them would have survived, had they not traded Justin Fields, ripped the Band-Aid off, and started over with Caleb Williams, which ultimately, yep. If it all goes well, that'll prove to be the franchise-saving move and maybe the best, maybe like the most important move ever made by a general manager in Chicago.
It really could be. It could go down that way.
We're talking to Courtney Cronin from ESPN, covers the Chicago Bears, but does a whole lot more for ESPN. I have to ask you this because, amazingly, you covered him in your time with the Clarion Ledger. The idea that in the year 2024, Gardner Minshew is a starting NFL quarterback, I have to believe that you did not foresee that for him.
It is so funny you bring that up because I think back to, you know, just being down there and all of the guys that I got a chance to cover, whether it was, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, we'll see him week one. Sure. He plays on the interior of the defensive line for the Titans. He's a monster, you know, one of the best interior pass rushers in the NFL. A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, and then Gardner Minshew, who didn't make my Dandy Dozen list when we put that together back in 2014. And I actually had a chance to, you know, to make amends, so to speak. Not that he gave one rip about a list from 10 years ago, but I saw him when he was in Indianapolis last year as the backup to Anthony Richardson when they had a joint practice there. And it was just great to catch up with him, an incredible young man who, you know, has defied every odd like that was out there against him. No Division I offers initially, goes to Northeast Mississippi Community College, plays there, I think wins a national championship with them, if I'm not mistaken there. I'm sure there's somebody listening near Senatobia right now who can correct me on that if that's wrong. But it's from there to Troy to you know, having a chance to be on staff. It's like a GA for Nick Saban and saying, no, I want to continue playing and playing for Mike Leach. out at Washington State and all the things that he's done to give himself a shot, you can't help but root for him. The situation in Vegas clearly is not great, considering Antonio Pierce's comments about, well, somebody had to take the job. It's not a ringing endorsement by any stretch, but I love it for Gardner. And just knowing him personally, you know, dating back to like when he was in high school, I mean, there's nobody who I could have envisioned having every door shut and finding a way in and making it work for himself. And, you know, Mississippi's not a place that, you know, develops a lot of quarterbacks that make it to the NFL. So for him to be carrying that flag is a special thing for that state.
Courtney, I want you to know here that last year I unfollowed Brad Biggs because you are so good at what you do. I said, I'm just going to get it exclusively from Courtney. We know you've got a big fan here in John. I want you to know there's two of us and probably many more here in Memphis, Tennessee, but I cannot thank you enough for this time. When he told me that he got you, right, that he got you in this 12:25 slot, you can't understand the giddiness and how I was trying to contain myself. So thank you. Thank you for this.
Of course.
It's been
oh, my
fantastic.
God. You guys are great. Anytime. I'd love to talk to Bears. And go ahead and give Biggs a follow. He's one of the OGs on the beat. I don't know if anybody has seen more in a franchise than he has with the Bears. He's
nope.
a good one.
I did it for years. You're more prolific. You put out more. I'm done with Biggs. I love him to death. I have for a long time. You're better. Thanks.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks a ton, Courtney.
Appreciate it. She is Courtney Cronin from ESPN, covers the Bears. She is really good. She knows her stuff, man. That's amazing. She, again, I've told the story before. She was my, you know, tour guide at the Clarion Ledger way back in the day. And, man, to see her go from that to that, it's that's amazing. That's an amazing rise, man. And
that might be the only ball she's ever dropped on the failing of recruiting John Martin to the Clarion Ledger, huh? If she was your recruiting guide.
She really
she
was
your tour guide.
She was, you know, yeah.
She's probably something I made her do, and she was like, well, I got to
well,
do
I think
this.
She just kind of happened to be in the office. That,
okay.
And again,
oh, okay.
I think I had known her maybe.
I mean, they were putting out a pitch to you, right? They wanted
yeah, no,
you.
They, it was the guy, it was the sports editor. Mm-hmm. It was the sports editor. Yeah. And he, and I'll be honest, he was a little weird. And, you know, then I was like, man, you know, Courtney's down here, and we're kind of the same age. I was like, so, you know, that like it's got to be at least, you know, can't be that bad. You know, there's some young talent down here, right?
Yes.
But ultimately, luckily, thankfully, it was life-changing. 92.9, you know, made a more, you know, lucrative offer for me to stay and gave me some
Thank
opportunities.
You. Thank you, Jeff played a part.
This was back in 2014.
Exactly.
Man, like... That because Courtney was gone. She was gone. I think maybe a year
Courtney
later.
Courtney was on the way up.
No doubt. And
you would have still been there.
I don't know how I would have went.
You'd have been doing radio in Jackson.
Oh, man. Oh, absolutely devastating. Yeah,
working with the columnists.
Yeah, like
down
my
there.
Job was going to be like cover Mississippi recruiting, like Mississippi football recruiting, Mississippi basketball recruiting, which actually in that time would have been fine.
Better than covering Tennessee recruiting in football, probably.
Yeah, probably at that time, but, you know. I don't know how much upward mobility there was going to be with that one. You know, maybe you grind and you become the Mississippi State beat writer or the Ole Miss beat writer. You're like, just would not have been the – there were some things about it that I enjoyed, like the idea of, like, just, you know, being on kind of my own finally. And mm-hmm. there's, like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't want to move from Memphis to Jackson, bro. That feels like I'm moving backwards. You know what I'm saying? Again, all due respect, but...
Well, we have many Jackson people here now.
I know.
That doesn't
but you
move like, they won't look at that as respect.
Yeah, well,
it's
not...
just all due
it's,
respect.
It's, well, yeah, fine. It's not respect. It's just the truth. It's like you don't... You move from Jackson to Memphis, right? You don't move from Memphis to Jackson. You know, so... I mean, hey, how are you going to go somewhere where the infrastructure is even worse? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like my whole... and I didn't have to, right? I didn't have to. Thankfully, again, I'm because I don't know how it would all turned out. There are certain moments in your life where you're like, okay, butterfly effect. If you had never worked at Imperial, who knows how your life would have turned out? You know, if Dennis would have never
constantly bringing that up. We don't know Dennis's other jobs.
We really don't. We really don't know what Dennis.
Boy, he's been in radio for.
I know, but he's a mute.
Should be in the Hall of Fame.
He's somehow become. He's had a career in radio
no,
without ever.
First
speaking.
Off,
it's just it's a modern marvel.
First off, you're breaking the rules. We do not talk about him.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were allowed to talk about him. We just couldn't expect him to discuss. Okay. Okay, got it. We'll have to take that up with him off the air and see how he feels about it.
But if he's okay with it, we might just do a tribute to his career at 1 o'clock. You just never know.
It's a freaking Hall of Fame career. That'd be a long one. Long tribute.
It would. Hey, we got to fill time. It's a 3-hour show. He understands that better than anybody, right? So anyway, thanks to Cordy Cronin for joining us.
Fantastic.
On the show. 125, Adam Chernoff will join us. We'll talk to him about NFL preseason, week one, right around the corner. I know you're excited about that. Get his thoughts on the Philly move here with Jahan Dotson. What does he rate it?
She thought it was weird, too, because you're helping Philly.
Yeah. So at any rate, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN. We're back. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny to think about Gardner Minshew's career. The guy didn't even make the damn dandy dozen.
That's as a crazy. Senior. He'll always have that one on Courtney.
So you
underestimated me, Courtney.
I mean, yeah, and he's starting for my team, and he wasn't even good enough to be in the dandy dozen. So that's horrific, really.
It's not. I mean, it happens all the time.
It's just not a good. I'd rather have Caleb Williams than Gardner Minshew. So anyway, fun to go down memory lane.
What do you think of what Tom Brady said, saying it's a tragedy that we're playing first year quarterback since we've just been talking about Caleb and we've been discussing these first year, first round quarterbacks ad nauseum? Did you hear what he said? He says it's a tragedy that we're playing these first-year guys. And his point was that the reason we're doing it, he laid off the financial, right, and how much that does when you're on a rookie, you got a quarterback on a rookie deal, what it does for the rest of your team. His point was that we've dumbed it down so far. We're forcing them out there instead of bringing them up and coaching them up and developing them, I guess turning them all into Patrick Mahomes's after they've sat for years, what he's trying to say along those lines. He would obviously say Jordan Love, and that situation was good for him.
Yeah.
His point is we're throwing them right in there. We're keeping it so basic.
Mm-hmm.
We're coaching where they're at right now as opposed to bringing them up and developing them into something that can, you know, understand a system that's much more complicated. He avoided the financial. The reason we're here is the financial side of that, right? You look at what it's done for the Niners. You can go out and go get everything else if you've got a rookie quarterback, and in this case, Mr. Irrelevant in there, and he's, you know, good enough. And so, I don't know. I didn't hear the whole quote, but it's raised a few eyebrows this week. Everybody said, Tom's preaching.
Right.
I'm not sure I agree.
No, I mean, I think in a perfect world.
Because you've always said draft the quarterback first round. You play him.
Yeah.
So you, Tom says no. We're doing these guys a disservice.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world where salary cap didn't exist, yeah, but it exists, you know, and contracts exist, right. And you know, here's the truth, and it's interesting that it is coming from Tom Brady because Tom Brady is consistently the only guy that's ever taken less to get other players paid. He was notorious for that. He was probably, I'm assuming, never the highest paid quarterback. In any point,
I would believe that's correct.
That's because that was by design. And
most situations aren't like that. The quarterback's going to get 50 plus.
I mean, Mahomes did you a solid with the team friendly restructuring or whatever, but he's still going to get his money. And so I think that's the piece of it. Like Tom Brady is one of one, and they don't make them like him in terms of the sacrifice and the commitment. And that's holistic, bro. That's like his body. That's his money. That's his everything. He was a maniac, and he lost friends over it. He lost his wife over it. I mean, was it worth it? I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. I don't know. But in terms of his professional approach, there is nobody that has ever been more committed and dedicated to winning at the absolute highest level and doing whatever it took to do it than Tom. Nobody else is ever going to come close to that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.